Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Rise on your feet, everybody. Let's do this together as we go into the Word of God. 3 John verse 1. 3 John verse 2, chapter 1, only one chapter, verse 2. 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2. I was expecting to see the scriptures. All right. Everybody now, to go. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. We come before you. It's our season of empowerment. It's our month of more money. We ask, oh God, that everything that we need to be able to scale up our capacity to create wealth, to live in prosperity, and to make more money, Father, release to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to our hearts, empower us, strengthen us, encourage us, so that everybody will walk out of this place knowing that they have the ability and receiving the anointing to be able to create wealth. That between this Sunday and next Sunday, somebody will have a testimony of making 10 million naira. Someone else will have the testimony of making 5 million naira. Another person will have the testimony of making $5,000. Somebody else will have the testimony of making 10,000 pounds. I pray that everyone under this teaching will return back next Sunday with a testimony in your mouth of how God visited you in the mighty name of Jesus. Shout a better amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Sit down like the king that you are. Everybody say more money. My God, somebody say more money. All right, now look at another person and say, brother, money matters. Say, sister, money matters. Money is very important. Okay? Gentlemen, money literally is competing with oxygen for importance and relevance. Does anybody hear me? Literally competing with oxygen as far as its level of importance is concerned. Sadly, in church, there are three things that people frown at when we talk about them. And I had the privilege of being a part of Okenwa's birthday. He launched a book where he addressed these three subject matters. Beautiful book, you know. And three things that nobody wants to talk about in church. When you talk about it, people put a straight face. Number one, money. Say, pastor, just preach the word. Preach the word. Okay? We don't like prosperity preachers. I always ask them, you prefer poverty preacher? I can also turn. I came from deep. Oh, my God. Why did I say that? I can also turn the other side and just be talking to you about holiness while I watch you suffer in poverty and suffer in penury. But that's not my assignment. My assignment is to give you holistic success in your life. Amen? The second thing people don't like to talk about is sex. And every time you mention that, people just keep a straight face. But truth be told, everybody here is thinking about sex one time or the other. I don't care how holy you look. I don't care how righteous you look. Sex is important. And you are thinking about it. I put it to you. The other thing that we don't want to talk about is fame. Everybody say fame. Pastor, I don't mind being not recognized. It's a lie. Call others to the high table and don't call him. You'll know whether he doesn't like it. It's a lie. Big fat lie. Listen. Even in the family meeting, acknowledge others and don't call his name. And you will know that he likes fame. Everybody likes fame. I don't care how holy the person is. Well, going beyond talking about, many things have been spoken about in the course of this month. But this morning, I want to concentrate on what I have called the fountain of money for the believer. Everybody say fountain. I can't hear you say fountain. Now, there are many channels that will give you money. Selling of goods and services will give you money. Skill and creativity will give you money. Somebody's benevolence and generosity will give you money. Inherited wealth will give you money. But every one of those things are channels. I want to deal with the foundation of money. The source, the fountain, where it all springs from. That's what I want to deal with this morning. And therefore, I have titled this particular one, The Blessing. Everybody say, The Blessing. Say, more money Say the blessing. For the second time, say more money. Say the blessing. There are three major, what I want to call, source of forces of destiny in life. Three major forces that power destiny in life. Number one of them is called the blessing. Number two of them is called the covenant. Number three is called purpose. Everybody say the blessing. Say covenant. Say purpose. Again, say the blessing. Say covenant. Say purpose. Gentlemen, when you discover these three forces in life, in fact, there are people who don't have the blessing, who have just discovered purpose very early in life and began to walk in purpose, and they become true successes in life. These are forces of destiny. Michael Jackson may never have had anything called the blessing. Okay? The Beatles may never have had anything called the blessing or whatever. But they discovered very early in life, were called to do this. Lionel Messi, I don't know his convictions and whatever. But a lot of them may not even necessarily have the covenant or the blessing. But discovering purpose and walking in it very early in life and building purpose can truly make you a success. But this morning, I want to deal with the very first of them, because I'm dealing with believers who are in covenant with God. I want to speak about the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. I can't hear you say the blessing. Now, please, ladies and gentlemen, the blessing is so important. It was indeed the first equipment God gave to man to succeed in life. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Genesis chapter 28. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Though, if you go on to the next verse, the Bible says, and the Lord, 26 rather, let us make man in our image. If you go to verse 28, it says, and the Lord blessed them. So God knew he wanted them to be fruitful, have dominion, and so on. But God knew that there's one thing that if you don't give to them, they can't be fruitful. There's no way they will have that dominion you're talking about. So God quickly, before they move without empowerment, the Bible says God quickly blessed them. All right. And all through scriptures, you will see that most of the patriarchs, the fathers we have in the scripture, most of them excelled as a result of the blessing of God upon their lives. Concerning Abraham, we are told, Genesis 24 verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Everybody say all things. Come on, I said say all things. Can I prophesy to somebody? By your old age, by the time you are looking at your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, I discover you will look around your life and God will bless you in all things. Amen. Your amen this morning is very disappointing. Amen. Since your neighbor is the one that wants it, let your neighbor collect it. Amen. I declare, I say God will bless you in all things. Amen. In your marriage, you'll be blessed. Amen. Business, you'll be blessed. Amen. Ministry, you'll be blessed. Amen. Your health will be blessed. Amen. Your children will be blessed. Amen. Your destiny will be blessed. Amen. Like Abraham, you'll be blessed in all things. Shout a better amen, somebody. Amen. Genesis 49, Jacob was prophesying to Joseph. And he said, the blessings of my father has made me prevail. The blessings of my father has made me prevail. Listen to this. I declare by blessing, you will prevail in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can I hear a better amen, somebody? Amen. The interesting thing about the blessing, ladies and gentlemen, the blessing is the only hope of the hopeless person. Is the only hope of a man who is totally hopeless. Pastor, what do you mean by that? God met Abraham at the age of 75. And God said, you know what? I'm not giving you money. I'm not giving you a job. I'm not giving you anything. The Bible simply said, and the Lord blessed him. And said, I've blessed you. I'll bless your family. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, but please notice this. Before God met Abraham. Now, please listen to the story. Abraham was an idol worshiper with his father. Is anybody hearing me? Please answer me. Is anybody hearing me? Yes, now, Abraham, I don't believe Abraham married in his father's house. I believe he had his own house. Maybe he had a job. But guess what? By the time God met him at 75 years old, Abraham was living in his father's house. And this is my conclusion. And a lot of Bible scholars agree with it. That Abraham got married, could not sustain his family, could not feed his wife and children. At the age of 75, he had returned back to his father's house. Abraham, if you read Jewish theology or Jewish history, Abraham kept having problems with his father because his father used to sell idols. That was the father's business. He had a shop where he sells idols. Abraham kept having problems, so he moved out, had his own house. But the man could not thrive. He couldn't succeed where he was. At 75, he had returned back to stay with his father. No child, No job could not look after himself. And guess what? God was looking for a man to do business with whom he could enter into covenant so that he can raise the Savior through that man. God did not see anybody that is successful in this world. Or God left all the successful people. God came to a 75-year-old man who has failed on all fronts. You know why? So that when the blessing of God comes upon him and turns him around to become the most successful man, you can know that when the blessing comes upon you, even the hopeless man has hope. If I were God, the last human being I would touch, even with a long pole, is Abraham. But God intentionally looked for a 75-year-old man who was a total failure and said, I will do business with you. And all I need to put on you is the blessing. I don't know how old you are that you have given up on yourself, 35, 34, or even 40. But I came to announce to you in the name that is above every name, by the blessing of God, there is hope for you in the name of Jesus Christ. And every time the devil comes to you and says, you have passed your prime, ask Satan, what is the definition of prime? Is anybody hearing me? If Abraham can start life at 75 with the blessing of God upon his life and became the greatest success story on earth, that till tomorrow, the whole earth is being blessed because of Abraham, I prophesy over you, no matter how bad your situation is, God will turn it around in the name of Jesus. We haven't solved this problem yet. I said God will turn it around in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, so for time's sake, gentlemen, 14 minutes to go. Help me, Holy Spirit. What is the blessing, Pastor? What is the blessing? Ladies and gentlemen, I'll just run through my list and go straight to this morning's, this first service sermon. And second service, I'll give you, I have a different message altogether, still on the blessing. Number one, the blessing is an activation that stirs up the realms of God inside of you. The blessing is an activation. If you're writing, write that down. Sorry, there's no slides for the day. Number two, ladies and gentlemen, the blessing is a programming. A divine setup that guarantees successful outcome. What is a programming? It's just like a computer programming or like a DNA programming. It programs you, for example, to be tall. Why? Because it's in your DNA. So no matter whether you eat food or you don't eat food, it's already a programming in your DNA for you to succeed. Can I prophesy to somebody? By the blessings of God upon your life, you will succeed in the name of Jesus. So the blessing is a programming that guarantees successful outcome. Number three, the blessing is an insurance. Everybody say insurance. It is heaven's guarantee that forbids failure. God forbids that you will fail by the blessing. It puts a divine insurance policy on your life that nothing on earth can make you fail. Can I prophesy to somebody? By this blessing, you will not fail in the name of Jesus. And all through the rest of this month, every Sunday, I'm just going to be speaking over your life the blessing, the blessing. The blessing. Again, I prophesy you will not fail in the name of Jesus. The blessing is an investment. It's an imputing that God puts in you that whatever you need to shine in this life, the blessing activates it in your life. It's an investment. It's God's investment upon your life. Number five, the blessing is a sponsorship. It's a sponsorship. It is God's spiritual endorsement on you and God's recommendation concerning you. That is the blessing. It's a sponsorship. It's like saying Nike is sponsoring me. It's like saying whatever big brand, LG is sponsoring you. Guess what? It takes off the burden of being able to perform on you. It puts it on the Almighty God. I prophesy again by the blessing, God will sponsor you to succeed in the name of Jesus. Number six, the blessing is a mobilization. Okay? It is when God begins to invite all the forces that are necessary to come together to help you succeed. Ladies and gentlemen, it is God's mobilization. God mobilizes everything you need in your destiny to succeed. I prophesy over you everything you need to succeed. May this blessing mobilize and galvanize all of them on your behalf in the name of Jesus. The blessing is not when somebody sneezes and you say, and it sneezes and you say, bless you. That's not the blessing. That's just an encouragement. Amen. Come on, talk to me. Somebody say amen. All right. So that's the reason why this morning, there are about four major things I'll be talking about in the course of this Sunday and next Sunday. But I'm going to take the first one, which is the fact that, and I'm giving you reasons why the blessing guarantees that you make money. Everybody say the blessing. Shout aloud, say the blessing. For the last time, say the blessing. All right. So this morning, I want to speak on, in the second service, I'm going to be speaking on the blessing activates the power of creativity in you. The power of creativity in you. It's going to be a powerful one you don't want to miss. You can watch it online since you're not, it's not your service. But in the course of this service, I want to speak on the blessing overrides the curse on the earth. The blessing overrides the curse on the earth. The blessing overrides the curse on the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen very attentively to me. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. And after eating the forbidden fruit, like you know the story, God cursed them. First of all, he cursed the man. He says, out of thorns and thistles you will eat. Then he went to the woman, also cursed her. He said, you will have painful labor. And so on and so forth. You know the story, am I correct? Please answer me, am I correct? All right. Now, so there was a curse on Adam. Fast forward, gentlemen, to God now shows up and says, you know what? There's a seed coming of the woman coming. When that seed comes, it will bruise the head of the serpent. Is that okay? But then the Bible now told us, over time, man began to misbehave. The Bible says wickedness was all over the face of the earth. The sons of men began to sleep with the sons of God, which are demon or spirit beings, began to sleep with daughters of men and so on. So much wickedness in the world. And God made up his mind, I'm going to wipe away the whole earth. I'm going to destroy man when we are created. I'm angry with them and so on. Excuse me. The story of the flood came. Man was dealt with. So much judgment came upon the earth and people died in their millions. You remember somebody? Please answer me. Do you remember somebody? The moment the flood was over, excuse me. The Bible said Noah took a sacrifice before God in Genesis chapter 8. And Noah entered into a covenant with God. We call it the Never Again Covenant. Genesis 8 from verse 20 all the way to 22. The Bible says Noah built an altar unto the Lord. Genesis 8, 20. And took every clean beast and offered sacrifices. And once that sacrifice was offered and all that, now this is what the Bible says from verse 21. The Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, never again. I like the NLT translation. It says, never again will I curse the ground for man's sake. Notice he had cursed the ground for Adam. But God now said, you know what? This thing Noah has done, this clean sacrifice you offered to me, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Okay? For the imagination of his heart is evil and all that and all that. Verse 22. It says, while the earth remained, seed time, harvest, and so on and so forth. Gentlemen, God literally blessed the earth as a result of the sacrifice of Noah. So much that the Bible told us in Genesis chapter 9, okay? God had to repeat what he had told Abraham in the covenant with Abraham concerning the blessing of Abraham. Genesis 9 verse 1. He said, and the Lord blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and so on. So God literally reestablished the blessings he had put upon man all over again. But you know the rest of the story. The Bible told us that one of Noah's sons, Noah, of course, planted a vineyard and got drunk. And in his drunkenness, he became naked. And one of the sons saw his nakedness. And when the boy saw the nakedness, the boy laughed about it, went and told his brothers. By the time the father woke up from sleep, the father placed a curse. Now, this is the curse that God had taken away by the sacrifice of Noah. But God now, yeah, Noah by his own mouth reintroduced the curse back into humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, that was how curses, hardship continued all over again until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Noah literally plunged the world back into darkness. Plunged the world back. And listen, I want to say to somebody, be careful, be very careful, particularly when you are dealing with authority figures in your life, particularly spiritual authority figures, because their words can be very powerful over your destiny. Is anybody hearing me? Come on, is anybody hearing me? So, gentlemen, Jesus finally came, and by sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, Jesus, of course, broke the curse. But that curse that was broken is only activated when you enter into the covenant. Is anybody hearing me? Answer me, is anybody hearing me? Can you answer me, is anybody hearing me? That is why, for example, Jesus received crowns of thorns on his head so that he can break the thorns and the thistles with which Adam was cursed in the Garden of Eden. He was stripped naked. Why? So that nakedness and shame will never be your portion again in the name of Jesus. The Bible says he redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, curses everyone that hangs on the tree. Pastor, what then is this curse you are talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, a curse is a powerful instrument. It's an empowerment to fail. Just the way a blessing is an empowerment to succeed, so is a curse an empowerment to fail. Number two, a curse activates demonic powers that follow people all their life. Number three, a curse potentially shrinks you. It shrinks your ability, shrinks your capacity, shrinks your potential to be able to do great things in life. Okay? A man is cursed. When a man is cursed, nature itself rebels against the man. Life rejects the man. When a man is cursed, spiritual resistance multiplies against him. And we can go on and on and on and on. But on the reverse, when the blessings of God comes upon a man, ladies and gentlemen, blessing removes the embargo and restores natural potential on you. Is anybody hearing me? That's why the Bible says in Psalm 1, it says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. First of all, verse 1 says, blessed is the man. Then verse 3 now says, it shall be like a man, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit. Because the blessing potentially empowers you. It removes the embargo and restores God's natural forces to support you. Is anybody hearing me? Please answer me. Is anybody hearing me? Number 2, the blessings creates wisdom for wealth generation and for wealth management. It gives you wisdom. It gives you wisdom, not only to create wealth, but also to manage wealth. Ladies and gentlemen, understand, a lot of people who are not walking in the blessing, not only do they have the problem of creating wealth, to manage wealth is always a problem. That's why, guess what? You know why most of our politicians never stop stealing? It's because no matter the amount of money they steal, they don't have the capacity to keep money. They don't have the capacity to manage money. They have to keep stealing to maintain the cycle. Why? Because on top of the wealth, on top of the money, there is no blessing of God upon it. Most politicians, 5 years after they leave power, are broke again. Because God ensures, number one, that they don't have the wisdom to manage all their stolen wealth. And even when they finally invest, they give it to a 419 who scam them and run away with the money. And the bad news with stolen money is that you cannot report to police. Are you still there, somebody? Please answer, are you still there? For the last time, are you still there? Gentlemen, I said it gives you wisdom for wealth creation and for wealth management. I will never forget the story of a gentleman by the name of George Washington Carver, who was a believer, strong believer. And one day, his life was so, he was a great man, good, well-read and so on, but life was miserable. And one day, he took what the Americans call the peanut, we call granite, he took it before God and said, God, please, you are the one that created this thing. I am a blessed man. Can you show me how I can make money from this thing? And it was on record that John Washington Carver, was able to create 300 products out of granite, out of what we call peanuts. That is the power of the blessing. And that is what is coming upon your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Number 3, the blessing breaks the yoke of the curse because it forces nature to produce for you. The blessing will force nature to produce for you. And finally, the blessing helps you to rise against every opposition, against every resistance. The blessing releases divine assistance upon you and the blessing forces you to rise. The blessing brings back restoration upon your life of everything you have stolen. And can I prophesy over somebody? No matter what the cankerworm, the palmer worm has stolen from you, God will restore back in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you. I say it will restore back in the name of Jesus. Shout a better amen, somebody. So for time's sake, let me go straight to the message for the day. How then, pastor, do you walk in the blessing and avoid the curse? How do you walk in the blessing? How do you avoid the curse? Ladies and gentlemen, please understand this. The very first key to walking in the blessing is what you see in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says when God met Abraham, guess what? The only thing he said to Abraham, he said, just follow me and I will show you a place you're going to. He didn't give Abraham any guarantees whatever. He just said, follow me. Everybody say, follow me. I can't hear you say, follow me. So the first key to walking in the blessing, pursue God and trust him to lift you. Never make the mistake of pursuing money. The Bible said those who pursue money end up with many scars and with many sorrow. Leave money alone. Pursue God. Somebody say, pursue God. Please understand this. We don't follow money. We don't worship mammon. I said it and I've said it over and over. I said the greatest contention for your soul with God is not the devil, it's money. And the worst mistake you will make in life is to put your pursuit on money, because the pursuit of money is an endless pursuit that will always leave you empty and always leave you broke. So instead of spending your time pursuing money, please pursue God and pursue purpose. Can I hear an amen, somebody? The scripture puts it this way. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says, every other thing will be added unto you. Are you still there, somebody? Please answer me. Are you still there? Do not pursue money at the expense of your soul. When the Bible says in 3 John 2, when it says, I wish above all things that you prosper, okay, it added there, even as your soul prospereth. Never ever engage in the pursuit of money in a way that it can affect your walk with God, in a way that it will affect your testimony with God. You know why many people cannot testify when God blesses them? The reason is because there are stories and details behind that prosperity that cannot be spoken about on the pulpit. Is anybody hearing me? Because there are a lot of mess. They said they bought a new car, they built a new house, but they won't tell you the sacrifice that happened. They won't tell you the people they cheated. They won't tell you the man that they slept with. They won't tell you the people they had to sort out. That's why a lot of people in church cannot give testimony, because in the course of that prosperity, their soul was wounded. Never pursue money at the expense of your marriage, at the expense of your spirituality, at the expense of your health. There are a lot of people on earth today, they spend the best part of their life pursuing money, then they finally get the money, then they spend the remaining half of their life using the money to treat themselves from the damage that they cause themselves because they are pursuing money. Listen to this. God never designed money for you to pursue it. The design is, seek me first. This will be added to you. I pray that you will put your own priorities and your own value system right, and you will put the first things first in the mighty name of Jesus. Shout a better amen, somebody. Don't scatter your family in the pursuit of marriage. Focus on God. Follow God. And you will discover at the end of the day, everything you are looking for is still back in God. One day, Abraham looked at God and said, God, it looks like I've wasted my time following you. This Eliezer of Damascus will be the one to inherit everything I have. And God called him and said, listen, I am your shield. I'm your exceeding reward. Everything you are looking for is in me. Hold on to me. I know it looks like I'm delaying, it looks like I'm wasting time, but ultimately you will get children. And guess what? Today the Bible says everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus is a son of Abraham. True or false, somebody? Why? Because he stayed with God. I prophesy once again over you, as you pursue God, everything you are looking for in this life, may the Lord give to you in the name of Jesus. The second thing I'm going to say, and this is where I'll begin to wrap up this morning. If you want to actually walk in the blessing, how do you activate the blessing? Create marketable goods and marketable services. I repeat, create marketable good and marketable services. Are you still there? Please answer me, are you still there? Somebody say marketable goods, say marketable services. Please, everybody look up here. Please understand that wealth creation does not come by money falling from heaven. When God blesses you, last Sunday I was speaking about the power of an idea. God expects that as a Christian, you are able to sit down to be able to say, what and what can I do so that I can come up with a good, a service, something that I can use to create wealth. Is anybody hearing me? Please answer me. Is anybody hearing me? God expects, ladies and gentlemen, that there's something you will bring to the table. Something that you can put together here and there that can create wealth. And guess what? The truth about life is that God has put in each and every one of us. See, let me frame it this way. Long before you came to the earth, God has already put in you a solution to a problem. So when you showed up on earth, you are already a solution. But most of the times, God is waiting for you to discover that solution which you were created to solve. Or sorry, the problem you were created to solve. And that is why, gentlemen, if you take time, I don't care how jobless or bad the economy looks and so on. If you take time and sit with God, even if it's for 7 days, and please listen to what I'm saying, particularly to young graduates who say, I don't have a job, country is bad, there's no job. Sit down with God for 7 days. Two hours only. Father, what can I do? What can I come up with? How can I make money? Listen to this. If you write down every foolish idea that comes to your head, first day, second day, by the seventh day, you would have generated at least 200 different ideas. Most of them may look foolish and undoable. But guess what? At the end of the day, between 10 to 15 of them will make sense. What am I saying? Is it true? Please answer me. Is it true? By the time you take those 15, you start sifting them, you will discover about 5 of them that make sense. And by the time you put it together, number one, you will see a business you can do. Number one, with the amount of money you have. Pastor, I don't have money at all. You will see a business you can do with no money at all in your hand. You will see something that you can create out of nothing simply because you took time to think and you took time to plan and you took time to create something. Can I say this to you? And I want you to listen attentively, gentlemen. A lot of the breakthroughs in science that many of us celebrate today, they didn't come necessarily by reason of somebody who did a lot of work. A lot of them came because of the blessings of God that came upon them. Because the blessing has a way of being able to give you ideas, what they call God-given ideas, that can generate wealth and income in your life. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Please answer me, can I hear an amen, somebody? And by reverse, where people are operating in a course, it suspends their ability to be able to think. And even when they think, it cripples their ability to be able to transform their ideas and thoughts into practical solutions. This is the reason why every single one of us here, please understand this, God has blessed you. When he says, and he blessed them, and he says, be fruitful. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came so that that curse that Adam brought upon our lives will be lifted and we can all walk in the blessings. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Amen. I'm going to close on this note by saying this. Please understand this. And I'm speaking this prophetically this morning. If there's any way, because I want to pray, that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. If there's any way you know that growing up, either your parents or somebody around your life said some negative things about you, and nobody has reversed that thing, in the course of this service, I want to reverse that thing. Because a lot of people are walking today, they don't even know what is fighting with them, what is contending against them today. I don't know who you are, but I want to pray for you as I end this service. In case any boss, parents, former pastor, anybody has said anything against you, I want everybody to rise on your feet. Oh no, everybody sit down. Everybody sit down. Your parents, out of anger, have said some things against you. I want you to rise up. Or your former pastor, some of you did some terrible stuff before you left your church. And you know that there's still an unresolved dispute between you and that former pastor. This morning, I want to pray for you and I want you to rise on your feet. Your parents have said some nasty things against you because of the way you did something that pained them very badly. And you know that thing is still following you. Please stand on your feet. Don't take those things for granted. Your boss looked at you and said, as long as I'm alive, you will never succeed. Some of you think it's a joke. Some of those things, because they stay in an authority figure over your life, those things can haunt you in a long time. Or you defrauded somebody who in their pain, they look at you and they say to you, you will never be well with you. It will never be well with you. You are a young girl in this house this morning. There's somebody who trained you through school with a promise you will marry her. Today you have walked away and you said there's nothing you can do about it. Or you defrauded somebody in business. They may not have come before you to open their mouth, but you know that they are in pain, that they are bleeding because of the evil you did to them. You better stand up for prayers this morning. Because the things that haunt people's life and destiny, a lot of people don't know about it. This morning, my assignment is to pray for you and break that thing and reverse that thing. The reason why Jesus came is so that the blessing will come upon you as the curse is lifted upon you. A curse can keep you in one spot. Everybody will move on and you will remain in that place forever. And you will be making efforts, but every effort amounts to motion without movement. That's what the curse does for you. I've seen people who can't make progress in life. I've seen people that 20 years after you see them, they have not moved one inch, one step from the last point you saw them before. It's not ordinary. Sir, it's the curse. It's the curse. There's something upon them. There was somebody, I was with Pastor Annie recently, somebody walked in. We looked at him and said, nothing has changed 15 years after. He used to be one of the young men in church back in the day. Very stubborn, can't correct him. Always running into one issue or the other. 15 years after, still in the same place. Still in the same place. I want to pray for everybody who feels like an authority figure in your life has said something. Or somebody you defrauded, somebody you did something to. Somebody you hoodwinked, you duped, you scammed. You escaped with it, But you know that in the heart of that person, they are cursing you. I'm not even talking about 419 people now. Who, there's a white man somewhere who committed suicide because you scammed him. Ha, Jamala Kataya. Every tear from that man's eyes is a curse on your life. That woman that you married and you torment her and afflict her, she does not have to open her mouth, sir. The tears from her eyes is a curse on you. You will not see. I've seen pastors. Before I pray for you, listen to this. I've seen pastors who died in accidents. Why? Because they quarrel with their wife, not knowing that quarreling with your wife and not resolving it is a curse. The Bible says your prayers are not answered. I've seen pastors, they died, and God folded his hands while they died. I want you to rise on your feet. I want to pray for you. Not everybody now. Pray for this once, and then everybody will rise up for the blessing. Not everybody now. Those who need this prayer are the ones I'm asking to stand up. Then I'm going to ask everybody after them to rise up for the blessing. But I want to pray for everyone. If you don't mind, can you just put your two hands on your head? Those of you who are standing, say after me, in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you say, in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy. I ask for forgiveness. Everywhere and in every way, I am guilty of putting pain, affliction, disappointment on somebody. For everyone I brought pain to, Father, I ask for mercy. I receive forgiveness. This morning, let the blood of Jesus cleanse me. I come before your mercy. Let mercy prevail over judgment. Let mercy prevail over judgment. Let mercy prevail over judgment in the name of Jesus. Now let me pray for you, my Father. I come before you with every one of your sons and daughters standing here who have, at one point or the other, people have spoken things, negative things, laid curses, verbally or non-verbally over their lives. I pray for everyone who has scammed somebody, dealt with somebody, lied to somebody, betrayed somebody, stolen somebody's money, collected somebody's business, gone behind and collected somebody's boyfriend or collected somebody's fiance, lied to somebody that made somebody's marriage, a friend's marriage, not to take place. People who have gone ahead, your friend took you to the house. Now you went behind. Now you are now the new girlfriend. Your friend who took you to the boyfriend's house is no longer the girlfriend. I pray for everyone living in one curse or the other. This morning I ask, by the blood, let mercy prevail over judgment. Let mercy prevail over judgment. I stand as priest over this house and I declare mercy, mercy, mercy. I said mercy. Let mercy prevail over judgment in the name of Jesus Christ. And I prophesy this morning as your priest. I declare, let the curse be lifted. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree over you that, as the Bible says, Christ has been made a curse for us, as it is written, curse is everyone that hangs on a tree. Every curse that was placed upon you, I put on the Lord Jesus. I put upon the tree, and I declare that curse is lifted in the mighty name of Jesus. Now everybody stand up as I pronounce the blessing. And now I pray over you. I pray over your destiny, over your ministry, over your life. I don't know whether it's even the boss. That boss you promised to work for 2 years. After 3 months, you escape. And of course, he couldn't do anything to you, even though you signed a contract with him. But you escape. That boss is in pain because his business is suffering now. I don't know whatever category it is, but I pray for you. This morning, let every curse over your life be broken in the name of Jesus. I pronounce over you this morning the blessings of the Lord. The Bible said the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. This morning, I speak over you God's blessings, the blessings that makes rich, that will never allow sorrow to accompany it, in the name of Jesus Christ. And now I prophesy over you, in the name that is above every other name, blessed are you in the city, blessed are you in the field, blessed are the works of your hand, blessed is your basket, blessed is your storehouse, blessed are you when you go out, blessed are you when you come in. I declare that the works of your hands are blessed. and everything you do is blessed. Your destiny is blessed. Your life is empowered to go forward. No devil will truncate your destiny. No man will truncate your life. I declare that everything that reduces or limits you, everything that reduces your ability to make progress, let it be broken this morning in the name of Jesus. I declare that let the earth release its blessing to you. Let nature be a blessing to you. Let men be a blessing to you. Let animals be a blessing to you. Let the four winds of the earth be a blessing to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere the devil has put an embargo over your life, that embargo is lifted. Everywhere they have put a hurdle around your life, that hurdle is broken. Everywhere they have put a limitation, that limitation is taken away. I declare by the force of prophecy and by the anointing upon my life, I declare the curse is lifted. The curse is lifted. The blessing comes upon you. The blessing comes upon you. And it comes upon the works of your hands. I pray for that young girl. That lady actually said when you took a boyfriend, let me see how you will get married. Let me see who is going to marry you. I pray for you. And please, I'm begging you, for everyone I'm speaking to this morning, some of you need to leave this church right now, pick your phone, call somebody and say, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for what I did. It doesn't apply to everybody, but it does apply to some people. I am sorry for what I did. I pray for you in the name that is above every other name. I decree and declare, everywhere they have said, you will never amount to anything. You will never get married. You will never succeed. By the blood, I erase that curse in the name of Jesus. I put a divine blessing upon your life to declare you will make progress. You will succeed. You will excel. No devil will stop you. Life will not stop you. Situation will not stop you. By this blessing, you will move forward. You will accomplish destiny. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, you will bring forth your fruit in season. I said you will bring forth your fruit in season. And every season you have lost, I command restoration. Restoration. Restoration! In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, whatsoever you do from this day forward shall prosper. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord, the same that maketh rich and added no sorrow. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Give God praise in the house this morning. Every head bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You want to say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I'm not even born again. So this blessing we are talking about has nothing to do with me. I want to pray for you. Can you put your two hands on your chest as I make this prayer after me? Say after me, Heavenly Father, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart, Jesus. I confess today, you are my Lord and you are my Savior. Come into my heart. Change my life and make me a child of God. I thank you because my prayers are answered. In Jesus' mighty name. I pray for everyone who has prayed that prayer with me right now. Let the grace for salvation appear to you now. And let the power of sonship be revealed to you. Receive it now in the mighty name of Jesus.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.